from the top of the cage!
9.
I've never seen anything like this before in my life!
8.
We fight with the pile driver!
7.
Dan Moore with a TKO!
6.
Sebastian Sander, he's got him up! Jackhammer!
5.
These guys are leaving nothing behind!
4.
Spear! Spear! Spear!
3.
Oh god, he's gone through the table!
2.
Alex Kingston, he's got more guts than brains!
1.
2. 3. And we have a new EPW champion!
This is Explosive Pro Wrestling!
This is
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Haha, you're very funny, fat boy.
And I'm...
God damn it, Kanye West, did you stop it?
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
And now, here are your hosts, Beige and the Dude.
Hello and welcome to Drawing Heat. I am the Beige, and sitting right next to me here
is the Dude. That be me.
That would be you. And we are live here in Bassendean at Body Slam Central 4, as we like to call pre-awakening.
This is some crazy, crazy stuff, Beige. I'm overexcited. I can't be overexcited, but I am geeked to the moon.
Oh, there's no, we are excited to be here. We really am.
Our very first live attempt. Y'all outside, if you're, hopefully you're outside listening to this.
We haven't looked to see how many people of you are out there yet.
You can see our speakers, so please don't try and knock them.
Don't steal the speakers or anything. Yeah, they're expensive stuff.
Yeah, don't mess with the speakers, man, because it'd screw our entire deal.
But we are here. We are loose and live. The dude sitting here with his mic cord round his neck looking like Jake the Snake Roberts here.
That's how I roll, I guess.
And yeah, like I said, we are so excited to be here coming today live for Pre-Awakening. It's Reawakening 15, dude.
It is. Hopefully next year we can call this one Pre-Awakening 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. But what a day we're going to have. The evening was not even getting started
yet. Exactly. We have been so busy today. It's a hive of activity in here right now.
Yeah, the level of focus on these dudes is off the chain.
We were at ringside before just trying to get a word in with someone, and everyone is just busy, busy, busy. It's intense. That's probably the word to describe it, intense around here today.
Yeah, we got a big pre-show stacked up for the people outside. This is for you, the fans.
Absolutely.
So hopefully you enjoy it. We've got Mean Dean Olsen and Brad West joining us very shortly.
Yes, we will.
On a rundown of the card. What else we got?
We've got Fun and Frivolity and their usual brand of lunacy.
And shenanigans. Always a heavy dose of shenanigans.
And you know what? We don't know what we're going to do. We're here. We're live. We're PG.
No edits. So we better be PG.
We better be good at this.
We got two mics, a laptop, and some speakers, and it's just us.
Yeah.
I've never been so scared in my life. Except that time I messaged Jag.
Yeah, that was pretty scary.
That was a scary moment. But this is pretty up close.
So, yeah, look, we're here to give you, the fans, an insight into what's going to be happening here at We're Reawakening tonight. You may have been following it on EPW's Facebook page and know all the matches. You might have just heard about it and thought, I'm going to come down there and see what's going on there tonight. You are in for such an amazing treat. We've got, of course, the 60-minute Iron Man match between Chris Weiss and Davis Storm. It's the one that everyone has been talking about for weeks now. The first one in 11 years for EPW.
Yeah, 11 years is a long, long time. It's almost, I guess you'd call it like a once-in-a-lifetime type of match.
It's a once-in-a-decade match.
Once-in-a-decade, because it's a very long time, especially in wrestling parlance. Decade is a long-ass time.
Can't remember the last time we saw an Iron Man match, definitely in Australia, but...
Yep, they don't happen very often, and because there's not a lot of people who can actually participate in an Iron Man match and pulled off convincingly.
Yeah.
But we'll go through that one.
Exactly.
Later on.
We've also got the Invitational Tournament final between the Don, Michael Morleone and Logan Gray. Logan looking to go back-to-back, first man ever to win two Invitational Tournaments.
Yeah, the kid's got a rocket pack strapped to his back and sky's the limit. But the Don, I mean, you never count out the Don.
Yeah. It's who knows what's going to happen tonight. And, of course, we have the Reawakening Rumble to crown the inaugural EPW Coastal Champion.
Yep. Now, we've said it before on the show. Hopefully it's not a surfboard with somebody's name on it. But I think the way EPW and their title belts look, I think this is going to be a schmick-looking belt.
Yeah, we were trying to get a look at it before, but no, they've been being very secretive about it.
I think there's armed guards guarding it. It's covered up. It's locked away.
Oh, is that what those guys are doing out there?
Yeah, they weren't just guarding the canteen.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, you know, we are seeing the return of the EPW hot dog here tonight after it went missing at Vendetta, so we're happy to see that here tonight.
Yeah, we got to go with the hot dogs.
But look, yeah, we've got the EPW Coastal Championship up for grabs in the Reawakening Rumble. We don't know who is going to be in the Rumble match tonight, but earlier we did get a few words in with some of the guys that we think might be in there. They don't even know if they're going to be in there yet.
The only person we know is Elliot Forbes.
Exactly, Elliot Forbes entering in at number 15. So here's what some of the guys had to say a little bit earlier about the Rumble match.
2009, Reawakening 8, Gavin McGavin's first Reawakening. They had a battle royale for a brand new championship. And guess who won that match? In 2016, Gavin McGavin steps into his 8th Reawakening in a Royal Rumble for a brand new title. If I was a betting man, I would bet on history repeating itself.
I'm winning that Rumble and bringing that new championship to the Solution and prove to everyone we are dominant.
Oh, it's got to be huge. Come on, everyone loves a rookie going in here. I was screwed over by Scotty Ryan at Vendetta, Big and Neck. You've got to throw a rookie in there, so my chances have got to be high.
Last Reawakening, I was involved in a last chance battle royal for the final spot in the Invitational Tournament final. But this year, I'm involved in another Rumble, and this time it's for the EPW Coastal Championship, and I'm not going to let it slip.
At Reawakening, I'll be walking into that ring in a Rumble for the new Coastal Championship. Now, everybody in this Rumble has not done what I have done. I am an EPW champion, I'm a tag champion, I'm an invitational champion, rising star champion. So if anyone in that Rumble thinks that they can take me down, there's no chance.
Tonight, we will see the debut of a new EPW championship. Tonight, we will see the debut of a new EPW champion. And when all is said and done, after every man has been thrown over that top rope, it will be yours truly standing tall, because my time is now.
EPW Reawakening 15. It is all about Generation Zero. The Don Michael Morleone going on to win the Invitational Tournament. I guarantee it. And the big rig, Scotty Ryan, is going to become the first EPW Coastal Champion in that Rumble. I'll beat off 10 men, I'll beat off 20 men, I'll beat them all off. Come one, come all.
Some very confident sounding men there, dude.
Yeah, it's Reawakening. If you're not confident, you shouldn't be here. It's a big, big opportunity.
It is exactly true. And one of those men, hopefully, will be walking out the new EPW Coastal Champion, unless there's someone else in there that we didn't talk to and they're going to win.
Well, it's a Rumble. The Rumbles are made for surprises.
Exactly. All right. We can see the All-Star and Mean Dean just poking their heads through the door here.
Hi, guys.
They're ready to come in. They'll be with us in just a few moments. You are listening to Drawing Heat, and we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Attention, wrestlers and promoters down under. Do you want quality merchandise? Do you need a new poster or logo? South Australia's Wrestle Merch Printing is here for you. With a decade in the graphic design business, their clients, just to name a few, include TMDK, Chris Basso, The Millennials, Damian Slater, Kellyanne, Jimmy Havoc, and promotions such as EPW Perth and Hunter Valley Wrestling. Oh, and they took care of us here at Wrestle Radio Australia too. WrestleMerch will design your artwork and screen print it on premium AS Color tees one by one to ensure precision and quality. If you already have artwork, just bring it on over and they can work with that too. Once it's all done, pick it up from their Adelaide office, or if you're NBT in SA, have them sent to your door. Postage charges do apply. To take advantage of their friendly, collaborative, world-class service, send a message to the WrestleMerch Printing Facebook page and be sure to mention you heard all about it on Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is Mikey Nichols of TMDK. You're listening to the Drawing Heat podcast with Beige and the Dude.
Welcome back to Pre-Awakening here on Drawing Heat. And we have now with us our special guest, the voice of Explosive Pro Wrestling, Mean Dean Olsen.
Thank you very much for having us.
And, of course, his partner in crime, the All-Star Brad West, is here as well.
How you doing, guys?
Doing good. Thank you very much for coming on. Beach, this is exciting, isn't it?
Oh, I am so excited right now.
How excited?
Very.
It's funny you guys should say that because not only is it an exciting time reawakening, reawakening season, if you will. It's an exciting time for people in the company as well as fans and everyone. It's kind of like this kind of vibe. I'd hate to compare it to something like Christmas, but it definitely is a special time of the year where everyone gets a little bit more excited about things.
And the fact that it's 15th anniversary of Reawakening as well just makes it even more exciting for everyone. There's a hive of activity going around here today, just trying to get anyone to come on the show. They've all been too busy. Luckily, you guys are available for us. It means you get out of doing setup, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, no prep for Olsen and Allstar.
We'll get out of setting up whenever we can.
I think that's why Taylor King tries to come on the show all the time before the shows, just so we can get out of doing pack setup, not pack up.
Sounds like Taylor.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all.
Well, Taylor King did great gate crash our pre-show that we did last year with you, Olsen.
Yeah, he had no place being there.
Just opened the door, walked in, sat down and started talking.
Yeah, and he does like to talk.
He does indeed. But look, the reason we got you guys in here is because we're just going to go through the card. So the fans out there, if they haven't really been following, they know what to expect tonight. You know, we've got the huge matches like the Iron Man match and the Reawakening Rumble. It's going to be a huge night.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brad could probably tell you as much as I could. It's a massively stacked card. Obviously, you know, Reawakening is always set out to be the biggest show of the year. And it's definitely going to be the case here today because there are so many good matches lined up. And I'm looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of them. What about yourself?
Well, it really is. It's almost like every match on the card at Reawakening could main event any other show during the year. And I think that's one of the cases tonight where we've got six really, really good matches in store for us tonight. So,
well, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, each year that's the kind of goal we want, is that every single matchup could be, you know, a main event match on another card. But, like, you look at some of the things, like, you got the Invitational matchup as well. You got Slater and Kyle are going to wrestle as well.
It's going to be huge. It's been boiling for ages.
Man, there's a lot to look forward to, so.
Pre-WWE, even.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I dropped the WWE into your podcast.
We're allowed to say that. That's okay.
Yeah.
So, look, the first match we're going to have a look at tonight is the Invitational Tournament Final with the Don Michael Morleone going up against last year's winner, Logan Gray. Very interesting here. Logan looking to be, not only just the first person to go back-to-back, but the first person to win two Invitational Tournaments.
Yeah, no one's managed to do it ever, which it would be pretty incredible if he could, but he's got to go over a really, really hungry guy in the Don Michael Morleone, who this is his first Invitational Tournament ever. He's been around for so long, but he's only ever wrestled in this Invitational Tournament, and he's gone all the way to the final. It's pretty big. Well,
it's funny, before Vendetta, when we're sitting down ready to sort of, you know, go through the show, you and I were talking. You told me that. I mean, I've been with EPW like nearly 10 years now, 10 years next year.
Yeah.
You obviously longer than me. I didn't even realize that Don had never been in the tournament before. It's crazy. And not too surprising he made it this far as well. He's, I'm a big fan of his work, as much as he sometimes does things in a way I don't really like. But
I like the way he does things.
Of course you do. Is that how you won the tournament?
No, I was really above board back when I won the tournament for the small period in the sun where I was, quote, unquote, a good guy.
I'm surprised it took so long for Brad to drop the fact that he won the tournament previously.
And I didn't even do it. I've got my homeboy here ready to set it up for me.
So what year was that again?
Back when dinosaurs walked the earth in 2003.
2003.
So what was it like winning that tournament?
It was a big deal for me at the time. I mean, I'd been wrestling for maybe a year or two at that time, and it was a big thing. Like, I went up in the first round against Jamie Jura, and then in the second, my final match against who wrestles as Tyler Jacobs now, who back then was FN Carnage. So it was a really big thing. Like, on any other given night, you wouldn't expect Brad West, the rookie, to get a win over FN Carnage, who was the EPW champion at the time. So it was a big time for me. It was huge. But
You.
Back in 2003 when I was somebody else. And
says something about our friendship that I put over the fact that you're a former tournament winner. I've never actually asked you who you faced.
It doesn't matter. My name's on the trophy, damn it.
Exactly.
That's all no that doubt. Matters.
I was also going to say, I like the fact that it's got this lineage now as well. The fact that this is the 15th reawakening is a big occasion. But the fact that with time also comes that kind of history. Obviously, the Invitational Tournament is the longest running tournament in Australian wrestling.
We like to say that a lot.
Always.
So we've heard that a lot.
Any possible occasion we can slot that in, we will.
And it's the first Invitational Tournament as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Who's doing it over East?
NCW.
Okay, yeah. Well, what, why not,
I guess. Who's but, someone?
But, no, it's cool. I think it's going to be a great match. And, I mean, Logan Gray has been very impressive in the short amount of time he's been with the company. He's just been, man, he's done some big things. The interesting thing, though, is, of course, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is the Don Malcolm Leone. He's part of Generation Zero. He could have himself some backup, which could be a determining factor in the outcome of that matchup.
Well, I think we saw Scotty Ryan get involved in both the Don matches leading up to this point as well. So it definitely could be a factor there. But that, as you did mention, Don hasn't been in the tournaments before. He hasn't experienced the pressure like this, but he does have the 10 years experience. Whereas Logan Gray, he's been here before. He's only got, about 18 months experience under his belt, though. It's a bit of the yin and the yang there. He's definitely going to have to use his speed to his advantage to get over the Don, though, I think, tonight.
Well, not just that, but you know, tonight he's in a one-on-one matchup. Last year it was a four-way. There's certain ways that you can kind of take advantage of other situations in a four-way matchup. He's not going to have anything like that to sort of rely on. There is the X factor of any Generation Zero member, whether it be Hayden Zenith or Scotty Ryan, getting involved in the matchup. Plus, of course, Logan Gray doesn't have the solution or anyone looking out for him now. So, I mean, I'm wishing him the best of luck. It'd be great to see history made here tonight, but man, he's got the odds against him.
He really does. I would be more than happy to be proven wrong here, but I'm thinking the Don's going to get up tonight and cement his place in the history of APW.
I'm quietly cheering for the Don because of my history with him.
Yeah, quietly, really?
Quietly. Well, I said it. I may not be so quiet, but right now I'm being reserved and saying quietly.
Are we doing tips?
Yeah we're doing. Right. We can do some tips.
Yeah, it's. I'm kind of torn. I mean, with the experience factor, you'd probably say the Don. I mean, Logan Gray's proven us wrong many times before. I, for one, thought this was going to be Marcus Pitt versus the Don, but Logan Gray managed to defeat Marcus Pitt, which was no easy feat at all.
Especially seeing he hasn't been able to do it so far this year when it mattered for the title.
Anyone getting a win over Marcus Pitt is something they can really put on their resume. You know, I'll go with Logan Gray just because you guys are going for the Don. What about yourself?
All right, well, we've all said the Don's a wily veteran.
Yes.
But the thing you got to remember is that Don is in the best shape of his life now. Remarkable.
Very ridiculous.
The dude has transformed himself something crazy. But like you said, he does have Scotty Ryan with him. So that's a big part to play in that
and
match.
And Scotty was also in the final last year with Logan Gray.
He was.
Good point.
But that makes him very dangerous, though. So you can never, ever count out the Don. But that being said, a talent such as Logan Gray comes along maybe, once every 10 years?
Well, we haven't seen it, and no one's escalated the ladder this quickly ever before in EPW.
Except for maybe Brad West.
Yeah, Brad West, the All-Star. That's why they call him the All-Star. But this dude, seriously, has the potential to be the face of EPW in the very near future.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
I reckon this match could steal the show, as an opening match goes. I mean, this is a quality matchup. I reckon Logan Gray's going to win it and to make up for the fact that David Storm screwed him over out of his title shot before?
Yeah, one thing's for sure. Like you said, Logan Gray's got a very very big future in front of him. No matter what's in store for the guy, it's going to be an incredible journey that we're all going to go on seeing where this guy's going from here. And the Don Michael Morleone have already have come so far. The one thing that he hasn't done yet is the EPW Championship, and this is one way to get it. So he's going to be just as hungry.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a match.
Yeah, certainly is. We might see Logan do a flippy-do, hopefully. You do love seeing Logan do his flippy do.
Maybe just one.
One. Oh, it's reawakening. Maybe two. All right. Coming up next, let's have a look at the women's tag team match happening a first time ever in on an EPW show. We've got Amity Rowe and Blair Brady, her slave, going up against Michelle K. Hasluck and the debuting Harley Wonderland, which I am extremely excited about.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I really wonder how Amity Rowe and Blair Brady are actually going to work as a team, because all we've seen so far is just essentially Amity Rowe being, I don't want to use the word for our audience standing outside, but being horrible to Blair Brady. And I just don't know how that is conducive to
having
a team.
You can say horrible, it's okay.
Okay, good.
That's PG, it's all right.
You can also say terrible and not very nice.
Okay, I should have used one of those ones.
Only from the hours of 2 to 3.
Okay.
but even so, I just wonder how these two are going to be able to team together, considering Blair Brady doesn't want to team with Amity Rowe. The only reason she's hanging around her is because guest GM of Game Over, Lukey Bolland, came out and made a silly stipulation to the match, and now you've got... Well, poor Blair Brady has to be a slave. I mean, they're sticking to it.
She didn't have to lose the match, though.
Well,
Lukey also made the mistake of not saying for how long.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm also super excited to see Michelle K. Hasluck's tag team partner, too.
Oh, yeah.
Harley Wonderland, a New South Wales standout in the female divisions all over those promotions over there, Newcastle Pro.
Oh,
she was part of that massive show that IWA did. It involved Slater was in the main event up against Alex Titan, I think. Like, yeah, it was a huge show. It drew big numbers.
Nice.
And, it's interesting. Harley Wonderland has a lot of hype around her, and I don't think Michelle could have picked a better partner.
Oh, that's the thing. Michelle's very well-traveled as well. She's wrestled all around the country, so you know she's obviously made a very good choice in her tag team partner. I haven't actually seen Harley Wonderland in action, so I'm looking forward to that. Of course, Michelle's got an axe to grind with Amity Rowe taking her unofficial title away from her, but the X factor is really going to be the Blair Brady and Amity Rowe situation, because whilst you know she may not want to do what she's told as such, she kind of has to.
And that's exactly what we were thinking. So Blair Brady is going to be, we have it written down on our notes, Blair Brady is the X factor in this match.
Yeah, definitely.
Because pretty much she can decide the way it goes. She can either side with Amity or turn her back on her.
Well, if she decides to toe the line and sort of, you know, basically get herself... The thing is, she could get herself a win at Reawakening. She could be the one to do the pinning and you know... That's
big for her.
It is, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the women's division's still quite young, but, you know, something like that is definitely a big feather in your cap. But she could do that if she chooses to sort of, you know... I guess, obey Amity Rowe and, you know, maybe even the Solution's grander plan for whatever they're going for.
Yeah.
So
I think the one thing you blokes are missing is that at Vendetta, we saw a different Blair Brady. She was defeated. She was down. She didn't look herself, man. And if she comes into this match in that type of mind frame, Amity Rowe and Blair Brady are going to get destroyed by Michelle K. Hasluck and Harley Wonderland.
That's a good point.
Yeah, very good point. I think the best thing for Amity Rowe to do is not tell her to like shine her shoes or any of that stuff before the matchup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she can make her toe the line, but maybe not be a dick about it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Actually,
I censored myself before and you just dropped a D-bomb. Seriously.
A D-bomb.
I'm still censoring myself. There's children outside, Olsen.
Okay, sorry, sorry, people.
That's all right. We can't do anything about that. We're live. Completely forgot that.
Don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah, that's much better, yes.
But if Blair Brady actually grows a spine in this match and becomes her old self again, then her and Amity Rowe have got a massive chance to pull this one out of the bag.
Definitely.
Indeed. But
if they can work together.
Yeah, but that thing, they do have to overcome the veterans in Michelle K. Hasluck and Harley Wonderland. We've seen Harley a couple of times in WA over the last year or so. I'm greatly impressed. I'm a huge fan of Harley Wonderland. And yeah, just seeing her here tonight, making her EPW debut, is even better. But that thing, she is definitely a force to be reckoned with that I'm hoping that Blair Brady and Amity Rowe don't underestimate. Otherwise, it's going to be all sorts of trouble.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a huge matchup. I guess if you got a tip, I'll go Michelle and Harley Wonderland. Just because we don't know what's going to happen with Amity and Blair Brady, who we've obviously expressed they could win just as easily. I mean, I don't know. Has Harley and Michelle tagged together before?
I believe they have.
Oh, yes. They have? Oh, okay. Well, that sort of swings the thing in their favor even more so then.
I've seen them have a match against each other before, and it was very hard hitting.
Nice. Awesome.
Who you got, Brad Weston?
I'm with you. I think Michelle and Harley.
Yeah, that X factor, like you said before, with the teamwork of Amity Rowe and Blair Brady, it's going to play a massive factor. But personally, I have a soft spot for Michelle K. Hasluck. She's a hugger.
We've heard.
She's a hugger. I'm a hugger. We love hugs. So I'm going with her and Harley Wonderland to take this man at night.
And so am I. It's a unanimous vote.
So if they lose, we all look like idiots.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'll live with that.
I'll probably look like an idiot anyway.
You do.
Thanks.
That's what friends are for, aren't they? Just confirming the obvious.
All right, coming up next, we have the match we mentioned before. The big grudge match between Damien Slater and Kyle Styria, which we saw pretty much start all the way back at, I think about Evolution, I think it was.
Yeah, it was ages ago, just all over. I think it was, if my memory serves me correct, I think it was Slater was up against Husey. He got rolled up by Husey, and I think Kyle was maybe laughing at him in the
Kyle
audience.
Kyle was standing behind laughing and heckling.
And that's what this started like, because Kyle was finished. He was done. He wasn't coming back.
He's been gone for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he had joined you guys in the drinking section. Yeah. Like, that's where he was going, and then all of a sudden he laughed at Slater. Slater realized he was laughing, and then it slowly started to grow.
I think it kind of started back before at Collision Course.
Yes, yeah, right.
Because I think Slater was wrestling Pitt, if I stand corrected.
No, he was.
He was wrestling Marcus Pitt. And the action spilled out to the outside near the guardrail, right where Kyle Styria was sitting. And I guess there was some back and forth banter there and maybe a shove from some Slater on the way out. And that's kind of where it started.
I was too busy trying to get the idiots out of the way that were standing there pointing at Slater on the ground when Marcus Pitt was running around the ring doing his run-up.
Please don't call them idiots. They're sitting outside.
That's my shtick when I'm on commentary.
Sorry. Because they don't find out until a couple of weeks later on Vimeo, the Vault, now for only $9 a month.
Oh, yeah, great.
Get the cheap plug-in.
Definitely get amongst that. It's incredible what we've got on Vimeo. But yeah, it was chipping away for a while, this one. I mean, Slater's had a really big year, to be fair. Lost the title back at Reawakening last year. Tried to get it back for a while. Obviously, had his stint over in the US, which speaks for itself.
You can say it. Where did he go?
Don't worry, man. We say it all the time on commentary.
He wears their shirts at the show.
In WWE. Not only did he get a shot in WWE, but the Cruiserweight Classic is definitely one of the biggest success stories of WWE's year.
Yeah, for sure.
Without a doubt. And he got to be part of that, which is fantastic for him. But then he came back. Obviously, he bowed out of that tournament, came back here, and still not happy with Kyle.
No, not at all.
And it kind of got to a point where you know, Kyle sort of thought, well, you know, offered him out and he didn't want a bar of it still, which is just weird. It's been a very interesting build-up, so I'm expecting this to not be as pretty as a normal Damien Slater match. I don't think he's going to go out there try and trade holds with him and out-wrestle Styria. I think there's going to be a lot of fists and forearms flying in this one.
No. I think Kyle Styria's got a bit of aggression here that he needs to get out on Damien Slater. And the thing we need to remember is Slater is the one that started all this.
Oh, definitely.
He's the one that attacked Styria to start with.
Yeah.
It's his own fault.
Well, also, I'd imagine Slater's also going to be coming in with a lot of anger and aggression on this one too, because the thing that cemented this and made this match happen was Kyle coming out there and costing Damien Slater his number one contendership spot in that ladder match earlier this year. And I think that's going to be burning a hole in Damien Slater's stomach for sure.
Yeah, man, that's what I was saying. I'm not expecting Slater to be doing much of his chain wrestling sort of stuff here. I just think he's going to be kicking and punching and
scratches.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a brawl, hey. It's they're calling it a grudge match, not just because it sounds cool, but
it does sound cool.
It does sound very cool, but no, there's some genuine hatred by these two guys. And they're both two great wrestlers. You've got both former EPW champions. Kyle Styria, of course, being a former tag champ as well. Both veterans, wrestled for a long time. Of course, Slater's been all around the world as well. So, we're in for a bit of a treat in this one. I think it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit too. There's so many big matchups on this card. A lot of people are forgetting about this one, but it's going to be a big one.
No, this one's going to be a down and dirty grudge match, like you guys have said.
Yeah, man.
Reawakening needs a match like this. because like all the other matches have got a lot of polish on them. There's a lot of things going on. This one's going to be a dogfight.
I think grudge matches are great for wrestling in general. Oh, for sure. Just makes the, you know, just gives that match a little bit of extra spice. It just makes it that bit more exciting. You know, throwing a bit of anger in there, it sort of makes them all go a bit harder as well. I mean, I like it myself. Yeah. I'm really looking
but
forward
this,
to it.
But this is the thing. If Carl Sterio hasn't wrestled in a few years, he'd had a couple of matches back since he's put the tights on again. Mm-hmm. How much ring rust do you think there's going to be on Carl Sterio?
Well, that's the thing. He's going to have to have, in the lead up to today, he's like, I hope he's really good. I mean, he's a very athletic guy. He's always at the gym and, like, you know, obviously does right by his body and workout routine. But he's going to need every bit of, you know, well being on his side with Slater, because Slater's no slouch, and he's definitely, I mean, he's one of the best in the country. So Carl's going to have to really bring his A game with him. Even though it has been a while and he's had a couple of warm-up matches. Mm. And I think Kyle's definitely capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think if he can survive the first 5 minutes of Kyle Sterio's fist and fire routine, because he's going to be full of emotion, mm-hmm. full of anger.
Oh, yeah.
If Slater can withstand that, I think the match is Slater's. I think he's got it in the bag. Just because he's the world beater.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Damien Slater, he's wrestled all around the world in lots of different countries, done a lot of big things. Kyle Sterio, though, you know, he's the other thing is that because he hasn't wrestled in so long as well, he will be fresher. He hasn't had such a busier schedule to keep up with. It was just something we need to keep in mind. Damien Slater's had a very busy year this year.
He has, but that's the thing. If Damien Slater basically goes to do anything other than just brawling and starts to pull out some of his technical stuff, what's the word I'm looking for?
Technical wrestling,
that'll do. I do think that, yeah, Carl Sterio is going to have a lot to deal with there, and keeping up as well.
I'm really keen for this matchup. I think it's going to be great.
I'm picking Slater. I think Slater is arguably the best wrestler in this country, and he's definitely one of the top cruiserweights in the entire world. So my pick's with Slater.
If I have to take an analogy from another sport, and I will make this as quick as possible. Leading into the grand final this year, Sydney versus Bulldogs, everyone's like, oh, look, you know, my heart says Bulldogs, but my head's saying Sydney. I think they'll win. I have to go with that. My head's saying that Slater will win, but my heart wants Carl to win.
Yeah, I agree there as well.
No, my heart, my head, my kneecaps, my hair follicles, everything's saying Slater. Slater's taking him.
It's, yeah, there's a reason why he's the world beater, I guess.
He beats the world.
There you go. So it looks like we're a bit of a tie it up here so far. But the next match we've got now, this is probably the second biggest match on the card here. I'm torn between this one and the Ironman match to be my favourite. We've got the EPW tag team titles on the line in a triangle elimination tables match. Guys, this is going to get messy.
It definitely will.
No other way of saying it.
It definitely will. It's a bit of a tradition in EPW. We do that reawakening quite often. Not every year, but Often enough for it to be a tradition anyway. Yeah. There is an elimination tables match. First time that both members of the team have to go through a table, though, which changes the game a little bit.
I mean, it makes it harder for everyone, really. It makes it harder for the teams putting opponents through the table as well as the teams that are going to get put through. Because once your tag team partner goes through the table, you're on your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's there's so many things that are going to make this matchup all the more exciting. Not just that, but anyone that'll give me half a minute to speak on the topic, I'm a massive fan of tag team wrestling, and EPW's tag team division right now is, you know, it's just absolutely on fire. We've got so many great tag teams, and the three that are in this are definitely the caliber that are going to put on a top-tier matchup here this evening. Anyone that's like outside listening to this has got to be just as excited as what we are for this one. I mean, you're the headhunters, okay? You got Dan Steele and you got Twitch. These guys, you know, under the tutelage of Tyler Jacobs, these guys have been hungry and they've been wrestling some very good matches recently.
Yeah, they have gelled so well since mm-hmm. they came together earlier this year. I'm so surprised at particularly how much Twitch has blossomed since working with Dan Steele as well.
He really has. I mean, he's still a bit nutty. But,
he's a complete mental case. There's no other way of
putting it. But at the same time, he's doing a lot more inside the ring wrestling-wise than he ever has before.
Yes.
And, of course, Dan Steele, I'm quite a big fan of. He does a lot of great work as well. Very hard-hitting, hard-fighting wrestler. So those guys make together a great tag team. Then you got The Solution, of course. The fact that this is going to be Warship and AZ Vergara. So
their go-to team.
Well, they are.
Their go-to tag team of The Solution.
They're the predominant tag team of The Solution. So they've got the experience of tagging together, but they've also got the outside chance. Whenever Solution are involved in a matchup, you never know who the hell's going to come down, try and get involved in one way or another. Because there's a... I mean, you wouldn't expect Davis Storm to get involved. He's got another matchup.
He's going to be real busy a bit later.
Well, yeah, he probably needs a nap before he goes out there and wrestles for an hour. But, I mean, Amity Rose got a match too. But you got Liam Mandel and you got Jordan Bishop that we, you know, I mean, I don't think that they're actually booked in anything right now. So these guys could get involved in us not knowing. And then, of course, the team with the most to lose in this is... Dan Moore and Jared Slate. These guys are the tag team champions. I mean, we can sing their praises. They've done a hell of a lot of great work over the last couple of years.
It's been a long build for them to get to this point.
Yeah, a lot of people were happy that they won the tag team titles, and rightfully so. But going into a matchup like this, I mean, they've got two teams against them, as well as the tables and all the rest. But, I mean, Dan and Slate have gotten hardcore before. It's not something they shy away from.
Well, that's the thing. All six of these guys, they're not shy of being hardcore. They're no stranger to tables either.
Yep.
It's going to be absolutely insane here. Also have to add to the fact that both Warship and AZ Vergara are former tag team champions as well on separate occasions.
Very good call.
They do have that going for them as well. They have the experience there. I really don't know which way to go on this one. It could be anything.
Yeah. It all boils down to a simple fact. Who wants it more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's hungry enough? We know they're all hungry, but who's willing to take that dangerous risk? Who's willing to go the extra mile to get the job done?
Well, one thing I can sort of speak out a bit more about Dan Moore and Jared Slate is since winning the tag team titles, they haven't slowed down a bit.
No.
There's been no complacency. Like, if anything,
and no miscommunications, which is the big thing, all the way to picking up those tag team championships. They couldn't get on the same page. But as soon as they got those straps, they've been...
They just clicked.
Yeah, it's been like clockwork.
But not just that, but they've been like a freight train since getting those titles. They've just not been full steam ahead. Like, even at Vendetta, obviously there was more people involved in the matchup than just them. But, I mean, you know, they're getting busted up and they're coming back into the match after going out of it. And, you know, just it's these guys have got what it takes to get the job done on the big day, I think. But, can we come back to me? I don't know who I'm going to pick for this one.
Yeah, sure. I'll start off. If I had to pull a name out of a hat, I'm probably going to go Solution. It's too hard to really pick. I'm just going to go the fact that they got the experience. And, yeah, they really don't care. They'll probably put it through each other through a table if they need to. And I don't think they can eliminate your own partner, so they probably would do it anyway.
Yeah, it is a hard one to pick. The Solution have that bigger goal, though, that bigger purpose as far as taking over EPW. So winning the tag straps will be a massive step in that direction. So, if you had to hold a gun to my head, I would probably say the Solution too, but I'm kind of hoping that the Headhunters can pull this one out. So I really like their cohesion and their style.
Yeah, it is really tough because they're three awesome teams, three teams I enjoy watching, but I'm actually going to go with Dan and Slate to retain.
Well, one thing that it just dawned on me then is the team of the Headhunters, out of this particular matchup, they're the one team with nothing to lose and everything to gain. Solution go back to the backstage area to the rest of the Solution without those tag team titles. Yeah. They're going to be in it deep. You know what I mean? You got Dan and Slate, who are the current tag team champions. They can lose those belts and have to go back to square one. Headhunters, they just got everything to gain, nothing to lose. At the same time, they're hungry as hell. I mean, you look at the matches they've had over the past few months. There's definitely no reason why they can't get the win here tonight. But if you got to pick one team, which is hard as hell, because all three teams can definitely do it. I'd love to see the Headhunters do it, but I'm going to have to go with Dan and Slate.
There we go. I think we all want to see Twitch's victory celebration if they do win as well.
That'll
be one of the highlights of the night.
They're definitely deserving of it anyway. They're great wrestlers.
The last two matches they've had with the debuting Better at Everything, David Nero and Jagger Stevens, have just been phenomenal.
Great addition to the EPW tag team division. Yeah. Very happy that they're with us and going to get to see more and more of them now.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we don't see them in the EPW tag team title picture very early in the new year as well.
Yeah, Jagger Stevens is a kind of a guilty pleasure to watch. he's such a tool, but you can't take your eyes off him.
Yeah, he's a hell of a lot of fun. And David Nero, on the other hand, like, man, that guy...
He's a serious dude.
He's going to be something special.
His running drop kick in the corner.
Oh, yeah. God damn.
As we were saying a couple of weeks ago, they complement the headhunters so well just with their styles. They just match up so well.
Yeah, it's great having a new sort of tag team in the division as well, just to see them sort of go up against all the other great tag teams we've got.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be an EPW fan.
Yeah. Coming up next, we have the second big one, co-main event.
The other big one.
They're all big ones, aren't they?
They're all big. This is one of the really big ones because it is for the brand new EPW Coastal Championship, the Reawakening Rumble.
Yeah, it's really cool, like this brand new championship belt. I guess in some sort of paying homage to the past, I guess, from our history as Explosive Coastal Wrestling. So that's the name of the title. It's
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's awesome. It's it definitely is a grandstand sort of to the future, I guess. Some sort of I'm super excited, and there's 15 people, I believe, in this Rumble. And it's going to be off the chart. I'm super excited to see who's going to come out. We know Elliot Forbes is coming in the last position.
He won the right to get in there. Yeah. The fact that there's a new championship in EPW for the wrestlers to fight for, I think it's a great thing. It's very exciting, not just from someone within the company, but obviously, you know, we call the action at each show, but we also get the best seat in the house. So we're as much of a fan as anyone else listening to this right here today. But I love that they've gone with the name, the Coastal Championship, but there's a lot of hungry guys on the roster that are going to have something else to fight for. And, there's going to be a great mix of wrestlers in this matchup. You're going to have former tag champs, former EPW champs. It's anyone's for the taking. And the fact that there's going to be another singles title for people in EPW to go after now, it's just going to open the floodgates because it's giving people just that extra bit more that they need to go for.
It should be interesting to see, like, at the end of the night, how either Davis Storm or Chris Weiss feels about this new championship belt. Because, like you said, there's some, like, star-studded people going in this Rumble tonight.
Yeah.
And if one of those top talent... I mean, let's face it, if you walk away beating some of these names in here, you're branded, you're a top talent. Like, how are they going to feel having this other belt coming up? Like, it should be interesting.
Well, you and I have often gone back and forth over this about, you know, calling a championship a title.
Yes.
Okay. When you win a championship, you earn that title. And then even if you've lost that belt, you know, the championship belt, you still have that title still retains to you that you're a former champion.
Yes.
And of course, we being commentators, of course, we have a lot of the cliches that you usually sort of throw in there there's a small handful of people that we can say have done everything in EPW. That all changes after tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I didn't even think of it that way.
That's a great thing.
Like, you're going to see all the old dogs coming out of retirement now. It's like, I was the Grand Slam EPW champion.
Speaking of old dogs, do you think we're going to see any surprise entrance into this Rumble? Because you know what Rumbles are like. Like you say, they all come out of the woodwork. We could see some people we haven't seen since, like, Awakening.
I wouldn't be
surprised.
Some
old dude on a walking stick or...
You're putting the boots on, Brad?
Never again. But I wouldn't be surprised if one of the other guys do.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. Something like this as well. I think it's one of those things that it gets people's attention as well. Obviously, the championships are kind of like the... it's the goal for people that get into wrestling, and having a new championship, it wouldn't surprise me if, like you said, some of the old guard and people that have sort of done a lot in EPW in the past sort of think, ooh, well, I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it'll be pricking the ears up of many a people, and I look forward to that too. It'll be cool to see some of the... I remember it was it 10 when we did the Rumble with all the...
Yes.
Yeah. It's not going to be like that. We're not going to see a Rumble of just like EPW former wrestlers, although that was a hell of a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, but no, you're right. It's going to be nothing like that.
It'd be like the WrestleMania gimmick battle royal.
I was going to say, as long as it's better than the WrestleMania gimmick battle royal, that'll be okay.
I still swear Iron Sheik only won that because he couldn't get out the ring because of his bad leg.
That is the truth.
Yeah. I reckon that's probably true.
But if the Sheik hobbles down to the ring tonight, I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, I love him. I think he's great.
I think you're in luck. I know a guy.
Sweet.
He's going to make you humble.
It'd be cool to see some of the older EPW wrestlers don the tights again and have a crack. And, I mean, even still, like, imagine if one of them happens to win it. It'd be a huge story. There's going to be an amazing story to come out of this match, regardless of who wins. It could be some young up-and-comer who's only ever had like one or two matches that just, bam, all of a sudden they're on the map. They've got a name for himself. Could be someone that's been sort of, you know, doing all right, but not too good. Or it could be someone we've seen at the top of the card many times before. It's there's so many possibilities in this matchup, which I think makes it all the more exciting.
That's true. Now, it's going to be hard to try and predict a winner of this thing. We don't know who's going to be there.
We only know the order of one person who's coming out last. So,
do we all have to pick Elliot Forbes?
I'm not too sure. I've been talking to some guys who, you know, that they think that, you know, that they're going to be there with a chance. I've got to say, my pick probably would be Taylor King for this if he's going to be there.
That's a huge one. It would do massive things for Taylor. I mean, it's going to do massive things for whoever walks away new Coastal champion. But that's a good pick.
He's had some good momentum going in the latter half of this year. And I think dropping out of the Invitational Tournament last month, this might just be what he needs to give him that extra little kick in the butt to sort of get in there.
That's the thing. He's got to bring his A game. He's still quite young and sort of new to EPW. And he's doing all right, but he sort of needs to... what am I trying to think of here?
Shut up.
Yeah, that would definitely help. That would definitely help. He needs to sort of get a bit more serious.
No, that boy should never shut up. He needs to keep talking.
He doesn't need a mic when he does it either in the ring. Obviously, we're sort of having a stab in the dark. I think someone the likes of Husey would be great if someone like he can do it. You know, he's been chipping away for a long time.
Hasn't won a title in
the ATW. He hasn't won a title yet.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a competitor, and not just that. He's gotten into the best shape of his career yet. He's really sort of got himself into great shape.
I heard he's switched to light beers.
Has he really?
He has. Hahn 3.5.
It's his training regime.
Yeah, there's a lot of low-carb beers out there. Someone tastes the right
stuff. And he's just on party pies now instead of full-size pies.
4 and 20s and now 2 and 10s.
I think it'd be great if Husey could take home the new championship.
I think the place would erupt too.
The crowd loves it, but he would be very proud as well. I mean, have you guys had him on the show before?
Not yet. Like we're trying to get him to sober up, but I think that's not going to happen.
We're saving up for a beer fund.
Yeah,
we haven't got enough tinnies to get him over here. His asking fee's way too high.
I think I'm going back to one of those old guard that might pop up. I'm going to go with Tyler Jacobs. And my reason being, he's a former Invitational champion. He's a former tag champion. And then he was a EPW champion, which made him the Grand Slam champion. Then they created an EPW hardcore title years ago.
That's right.
He won that too. So now,
he revolutionized that division. Because remember,
he did.
Bin lid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was lame.
Yeah.
And then he made it mean something.
So he created that title essentially. So I'm going with Tyler Jacobs to be the first ever new Grand Slam champion.
I believe the word is inaugural.
Yes, that's even better.
Well, the thing is as well,
you should take up commentating. There's a guy that can't even spit out the word inaugural on the desk apparently.
Inaugural.
But he is one of those guys that can take anyone like at any time. Like we say it all the time on commentary. Tyler Jacobs is that one person that at any given moment. Like any matches he is.
So what do you reckon, me and Dean Nelson? You got Husey?
I got Husey, yeah.
You got TK?
TK.
All right, you got Tyler Jacobs. I've got Gavin McGavin. He's been loving that. If he's in it, of course. Gavin McGavin, I think, is a top competitor. He's changed his attitude. He's changed his look.
I like his look
and attitude. He's a lean, mean fighting machine, to use another cliche that's not used too many times because it's stupid. Gavin McGavin's a whole changed man. I reckon he's taken this. But if not, I think if Scotty Ryan's in this Rumble, you have to really watch for Scotty Ryan too.
You only get one pick here. Two good calls, though.
Yeah,
you can't just name anyone else on the card who isn't in a match yet.
No, but Scotty Ryan has proven before he can snatch... I'll say this again, because we're live. He can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, because he's a weaselly, slippery kind of sucker, and he just seems to pull it out of the bag when you least expect it. He did win the Rumble last year at Reawakening, I believe.
It was the last chance battle.
Pulled Allison Cruz's underpants.
Yeah.
During last year's Invitational tournament.
It was the most injury-ridden Invitational tournament.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Memory is good.
I'm sure didn't Dan still there, get through to the final without even having a match in the tournament or something?
I have no idea how that happened, but those brackets were just all kinds of crazy with all those injuries last year.
It's just red crosses all over it.
I tell you.
It's funny. But just quickly on your point about me being... Whenever whenever I call a show, as soon as the show's over, I don't remember a thing because I'm in the moment and like talking as it's happening. It literally goes in one. When I used to do the recaps, you know, after shows.
That's how we feel when trying to do our recaps, trying to remember.
That's why we take photos
of the show so we can remember who wins.
I probably have like a limited brain capacity. But anyway, Gavin McGavin's a very interesting point. Turnaround of the year. I may not like a lot of his attitude, but as you know, when the bell rings, he's been all business. He's been very impressive this year. In fact, Scotty Ryan. There's so many things that we don't know that will be in this matchup. I mean, there could be a person that we're not even thinking of that has like really, you know, got their eye on this new championship belt that'll go and shock us all.
All right, now we've got one more match left on the card, and it is the big one, the 60-minute Ironman match for the EPW Championship, Davis Storm versus Chris Fice. Dude, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, you got to weigh up the competitors. We've got Davis Storm, one of the smartest and most experienced competitors in this country, and Chris Fice, who's a, to quote Big Papa Pump, he's a genetic freak. He's a cyborg, this fellow. So you got two of the best.
Does he have a 66.6% chance of winning this match tonight?
It's Chris Fice. He has an 87.3578% chance of winning this match.
Okay, then.
But show
then
you your got... work.
Then you got David Storm against him, so the odds could be anywhere for anyone.
Okay, then.
Steiner would be very confused right now.
Yeah.
as are Olsen and Ballstar.
Oh, okay.
Someone say something. We're live, folks.
I mean, there's so much that can be said about this matchup. I mean, it's obviously the main event of the biggest show of the year. Or, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but, you know, quite possibly the biggest show EPW's ever put on. I mean, the Ironman matchup is a tricky one. The fact that it is a 60-minute Ironman matchup, only ever done once before in Explosive Pro Wrestling, and we were the first company in Australia to put on such a matchup. And it's not something that any Fed will do sort of too often.
No, I can't actually remember the last time I saw a full-blown Ironman match, even in WWE, I think.
Well, see, I know WWE's done like a half an hour one before and stuff like
that.
Yeah.
They've done a few hour ones. I think the closest...
There was Bret and Shawn and Hunter and Rock did one.
The best one that I liked was Brock Lesnar and Angle.
I was going to say.
SmackDown.
Yeah.
That was killer.
Was that an hour one or a half hour?
No, they didn't remember.
They would have done an hour, but they would have... I don't know whether they would have done the TV ad breaks and
Angle
and Shawn did a half hour one.
Yeah, that's right. And Lucha Underground did a all night long one, which was just for the length of their TV
length
show,
of taping,
which
would have
been, and it would have been like 45 minutes or something, so that got pretty close, but it's no EPW Ironman match.
Well, definitely not, but I mean, that's the thing, 60 minutes, it's a long time, and you know, these guys can go. Like, there's, I don't think it's the kind of match, and this is not to sort of, you know, I don't want to put down anyone else that's doing wrestling anywhere, it's not the kind of matchup that just anyone can waltz into.
Very true.
Like, your cardio's got to be on point. Your weight training's got to be on point. You've got to be a very good wrestler with so much in your arsenal.
Yeah.
60 minutes worth of wrestling when your average matchup, you know, if you're lucky, it might go for 10 to 15 minutes. I mean, these are two that, you know, I think it's just perfect that it works out that it's Chris Vice and Davis Storm. These are two of the most dynamic wrestlers, you know, we've got in EPW. But for those guys to go the full 60 minutes, it's going to be amazing. I mean, it's going to be exhausting as well. Like, everyone outside listening to this, like, right now, you know what I mean? If your feet are hurting now in line, you know, make sure you get yourself a seat because it's going to be a long night, but it's going to be awesome. And these guys, I'm sure, will be entertaining for the whole duration of the match. But, like, you know, when the matchup was announced, I turned to Brad, I'm like, man, we're going to have to, like, call a match, one match for, like, an hour. Like,
poor us.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so excited for this matchup. It's going to be tremendous just to see what exactly these guys will do.
Yeah. So go ahead,
Brad. I'm really excited too, just because when EPW did it the first time 10-11 years ago, whenever we did it, there was just thank you very much. There was so much buzz around that event and what we were doing, and I kind of feel leading up to today we've kind of had that same buzz that's been hitting online, all because of the 60-minute Ironman match. It really has that ring to it, because you know there's no faking it. You know, you've got to go 60 minutes. You're going out there.
There's no shortcuts.
No, not at all.
It's based on time.
Yeah.
If I can, just for a second.
If they need to sit down for 5 minutes, everyone's going to be really bored.
Yeah, that's right.
We'd like it. I must ask, were you on the show?
Yes.
When Jack and Storm did the...
Yes, I was.
What was the feel like? Because I wasn't with the company back in then.
You can watch it on Vimeo.
Oh, that's a story
for
another time.
$9 a month.
Yeah. I can, actually. That's a good point. Vimeo is amazing, by the way. You can see so much awesome stuff on there. What was the vibe like behind the scenes leading up into that Iron Man match?
It was incredible. It's very much like today. Like, it's almost like it's the first time we're doing it again today, because it's been so long, and it's exactly the same. Everyone's just like, how are they going to do it? Are they going to manage? But at the end of the day, you have to. There's no getting out of it now. Like, there's no, like, finishing early. Like, they're going 60 minutes. And that's the whole thing. Like, it's curiosity, it's interest, it's excitement, it's worry. It's everything all rolled into one, I think.
Dude, any thoughts?
I have thoughts. I'm just soaking in this atmosphere.
I had a thought, but my mind's gone blank for a second there.
No, this building today, man. The tension in this building is palpable.
Yeah,
it's really a crazy thing to be in here and to see what is going on in the preparation and everybody and the focus everybody seems to have.
Well, that's the thing. We tried to find both Stormy and Chris Foss to have a word with them before, and they couldn't be found. They're off in their own little world somewhere just getting ready for this match.
Yeah, they're not talking to anyone today.
The mental preparation would be just as much as the physical, I'm sure.
I mean,
it's got to be daunting to sort of, I mean...
I wouldn't be surprised if Stormy is talking to the Solution.
Of course.
I would be more surprised if they didn't make an appearance in this match than if they did.
Well, that's one of the things that I've thought about, obviously, leading into this matchup, is that whilst the Solution can help Storm, they could also cost him, several things. You know, you get several disqualifications along the road.
That's what I was thinking. You know, if they can, you know, help him get a couple of early pinfalls on Vice at the... What's the word I'm looking for here?
At the outset?
No.
At the beginning?
No. If they can help him do that... Well, okay, he may get a DQ for it, but if it helps him get two pinfalls on Vice, he's still up one.
Good call.
That's the thing, yeah. As long as they don't get too involved, but if they can help him get that one up, that could be all that David Storm needs. You know, if they do it at the beginning of the match, he's one up through most of it.
Well, it can come down to one pinfall. So,
exactly.
You know. Yeah, I'll be very surprised. Like, I'm going to be incredibly surprised if the Solution don't get involved. I'm just expecting it. I can't tell you the last match I've seen of David Storm's where the Solution didn't get involved.
Yeah, no, you got me.
There for a second. That's how long it's been.
Let alone a matchup that's going to go for an hour.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is as well, obviously, you know, David Storm knows all the, you know, all the tricks in the book. But then again, so does Chris Vice.
He does. Mm. Like, you can't forget that.
And Vice's wrestling over the last sort of maybe 12 months to maybe 16 months, he's added in a lot of ground game.
Yeah, he's surprised us quite a lot lately because, well, not just lately, all this year. Mm-hmm. He's been a power wrestler. He's been known as a power wrestler, but he can mix it up on the floor with Damian Slater. He can go like this.
And
no
then he pulled out the STF on David Storm at Vendetta for the win.
Yep. That's the thing. He's going to have so many little things that he could throw in there that many of us won't be expecting. Mm. I mean, of course, David Storm's track record sort of speaks for itself. Talking about the... what year was the first one?
2005,
okay. From 2005 to now, that's like, what, 10 years ago?
11 years ago. Your math really does suck.
Oh, I was a horrible math student. Don't worry about that. you're right. Okay. But that's the thing. The one thing that has been constant from then through to now has been David Storm.
It's true.
Mm.
And you can look at that two ways. You can look at it the fact of, like, he's, you know, he obviously he's gotten more wiser and better with time. There's also the fact that Chris Vice has a bit of youth on him.
Youth, size, strength. There's a lot of things Chris Vice has on him. But...
yeah. It's got all the makings for a classic matchup. There's been some amazing Reawakening main events that have been matches for the ages. Like, you know, there's Reawakening main events that people still talk about to this day. That, obviously, the original Iron Man match being one of them. Mm-hmm. I know the tag team ladder match between the Victorians, Slex and Carlo TMDK. up against Mike and Shane was a big one. But I think this is definitely going into this match has all the makings to be like a main event of main events.
Yeah, it's got that big fight feel. You can feel it in the air already.
And this isn't just us doing our job of like selling it. This is like legitimately as someone that gets to see the show as well.
We just get free seats.
Yeah, good ones too.
So who you got?
Oh, don't ask me that question.
Yeah.
That's a million.
With how many
pins?
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow.
Goodness,
man. Well, that's something we should talk about. Do you think it's going to be a high scoring event, so to speak?
I hope so, because if it's if they go nil all in like Brett and Sean did, I'm going to be bored.
I can't see it going 60 minutes with no falls.
No, I doubt it.
No, I think they're probably going to go up around 4 or 5 each.
Yeah.
Pretty safe bet, I guess. Yeah,
I reckon that'll probably cap it, but because of the way these two are, they're not going to get a ton of pinfalls on each other.
Mm.
It's just not going to happen. But I think maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 tops.
And the thing is, if someone gets a tap out, then you've got yourself a target to keep aiming for. You know, like that's the other thing. The game plan's going into it because you need a game plan.
Yeah,
if you're going at it for 60 minutes,
you have to pace yourself for sure.
Oh, definitely. God, I don't think I can do much for about 60 minutes. Like, I get bored, doing anything for about 5 minutes. But these guys are just so good at what they do that they're going to just lay it all out tonight. And we're lucky enough that we're going to get to be there for it.
You're still avoiding the question. You're up first. Who you got?
Of course I am.
Who you got?
Two random numbers and a name.
Yeah. See, they used to call him the Iron Man for a reason.
Yeah. He won the first ever Iron Man match.
I know he calls himself the Messiah, but there's a reason. You know, the Solution dodge a lot of things at appropriate times. There is a reason why David Storm did not say no to this matchup.
Yeah.
There's that pride, man.
There's
almost that title as well. You know, there's the fact that he has been known as the Iron Man for so long that he's losing more than just his championship belt if he goes down to Chris Bison.
Yeah, lots to lose.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
There's the Iron Man Davis Storm does have a bit of a better ring than the Iron Man Chris Vice. I must give that. It just has a good ring to it.
He'll always be the Smashing Machine.
Yeah.
What about the Iron Smashing Machine?
I don't know.
That means he only smashes iron.
Yeah, it sounds like he's beating up appliances now.
Look, the most important name you'll be able to give someone at the end of the tonight is EPW champion.
Yeah.
And one of these guys is going to be the top man in Explosive Pro Wrestling at the end of tonight. And I just can't wait to see it go down.
Who did you pick?
I think
I'm good at this, aren't I?
I think I'm going with the fairy tale finish. I think it's Chris Vice. I just see it going down that way. It's Reawakening 15. Like something inside me just says Vice has to walk out of there tonight with the championship. I can't qualify it any other way aside from it just feels like it's Chris Vice's time.
Well, look at Chris Vice's career, and it kind of tells a story. If you will, he has these big moments where he'll be a champion or he'll do such a thing, and then he kind of sometimes sort of hovers around a bit, doesn't sort of, get in any sort of big major matchups or whatever, but when he comes back to the big picture,
he strikes.
He does. Yeah. He really does. And I mean, this year has been a little quiet for Chris Vice in Explosive Pro Wrestling anyway. I know he does stuff all around.
All over the country.
Yeah,
he is a busy man.
All over the world even. He went over to America not too long ago, but I don't know. Can we get... You go.
Me?
Just pointing fingers at Booch.
Okay. I am going to predict Chris Vice to win in overtime at a score of 6-5.
You're getting quite specific here, Beach, aren't you? You have some grapefruits picking an overtime win.
Yeah, well, you know.
Go hard or go home, eh?
Exactly.
Pick big.
All right, Olsen, now you have to pick one.
All right, I've got to pick someone. You know what? I'm going to go with Chris Vice purely for the fact that I think the Solution can't help themselves and they're going to do more harm than good. I just think that, I mean, you can pull a sly one over on a referee here and there, but for an hour, like, something's going to happen and it's a very well evened out matchup. Vice and Storm, whenever they get in a ring at any time, it's an amazing matchup. So I'm going to say Chris Vice with the win, but I'm not expecting a big... differentiation between numbers. I think it's going to come down to the wire.
Yeah, it will be a close one. It's going to be so close, I reckon, whoever makes the last mistake. Now, we've talked about this earlier.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out your logic in this statement.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the entire thought process with you because your eyes glaze
over. Whoever makes the last mistake loses?
Yes, whoever makes the last mistake, it'll cost them this match.
That's actually not too silly a thing. I might steal that on the night.
It's how I explained it earlier to him.
The original one was whoever makes the second last mistake is going to win. And that's not true. Because if they're down like 2-4 or 2-3, they could make two mistakes and then it could be four.
Man, you know, a mistake could cost you like...
I'm not going to try and talk the numbers here because it's just going to confuse you.
Oh,
again.
Definitely. Yeah, I went to Balga High, man. Like,
hello to all our Balga High fans. Yeah. Anyone outside?
They're the ones spray painting on the wall at the moment, aren't they?
Come on. It was a great school. I just suck at maths.
No, it's going to be a battle of wills. That's for sure. These two are massive personalities, massive talents. But I think David Storm is willing to shed the tears, the blood, the sweat. Might even sell his soul to get this match won. So I'm going for David Storm to retain.
There we go.
The Iron Messiah rises again.
There we go.
Divided. Two for Vice, two for Storm. I mean, one thing's for sure is that, listen to this right now. You're going to get your money's worth here tonight.
For sure.
Most definitely. Make sure you come inside, buy some merch.
Yeah.
Get some good stuff. So it's all happening in here today.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We know it's a busy day for everyone. You've given us some time. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, definitely will. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate Absolute it, pleasure. Guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
This is Drawing Heat. Here's where the
action is. You're Australia's favourite wrestlers. Here's where the action is. On Wrestle Radio Australia. Here's where the action is. Whether you're a fan or part of the industry, Wrestle Radio Australia is here for you with four packed shows. WRA with Todd Eastman and Josh Armour. Drawing Heat with Beige and the Dude. Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter. And Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez.
My job is to get heat. My job is to make other guys. My job, hopefully, is to make people want to see other people beat me.
It's all free. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or hear us at WrestleRadioAustralia.com. Wrestle Radio Australia, it's where the action is.
All right, we are back. Thank you very much to Mean Dean Olsen and Brad West. Oh, man, it's nearly showtime. Are you excited, dude?
I am. We just went 60 minutes, Beej.
We did. If Iron Man, David Storm and Chris Voss can do it, so can we. What's the crowd like out here?
They're looking... Oh, Bad Street's outside.
Oh, move the mic. Move that out of the way.
We didn't plan for that shit. How you doing, brother?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, we've got a good crowd out here. Who's ready for reawakening?
There's Brady. Brady in the bunch. Super fan. We got Tess's mum and dad. Neil's here. Everybody's here. Woo.
Oh, this is going to be fantastic. Oh, look at this. We have our own sign.
Oh, too sweet.
Drawing Heat is too sweet.
Woo. Did everybody actually enjoy us rambling like a bunch of morons or what? All 10 people, sweet. Woo!
Oh, this is fantastic.
If their mic cords were longer, we'd come round the other side and say, what's up?
But they won't reach, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, man, this is fantastic.
It was PG until Derek rocked up.
All right, so we're going to get going right now. The show's going to be starting very, very shortly. Who thinks that David Storm's going to win tonight?
Yeah!
One person.
Who thinks Chris Vice will win tonight?
Nobody thinks Chris Vice. Is Chris Vice going to win the title tonight?
She's not here.
I'm guessing there's people around the corner that are answering and we can't hear them.
Oh, speaking of people around the corner, there's fucking Frank.
Oops. Oh, dear.
I almost made it. Yeah, the little E goes on now. Sorry, people.
All right, let's go in and wrap this up now. Thank you very much for coming out early to listen, guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Let's get on with this.
Maybe next year we can do this again. No F-bombs. It's hard to do with your friends, brother.
Oh, will you look at that crowd out there. Oh.
Okay, they've got to get a better gimmick door.
That was absolutely fantastic.
Someone shut this door.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. It's now time for Reawakening 15. How much fun is this going to be?
We got our own sign, Beej.
We got our own sign. That's pretty
Brady
cool.
Brady rocks, man. We love that kid.
All right. Don't forget, guys, we are Drawing Heat. You can find us on iTunes, on the Wrestle Radio Australia.
Yep, on the FNX network.
That's correct, fnx.network. Don't forget also our Twitter, @DrawingHeat_pod.
Yep,
and on the Facebooks at Drawing Heat Podcast.
Drawing Heat Podcast. Yeah. So that's it.
And we're not like the other guys,
but we do know wrestling. So you